to the right temperature. Keep your family safe at foodsafety.gov. Brought to you by the USDA, HHS, and the Ad Council.
Stop wasting my time. You know what I want. You know what I need. Oh, maybe you don't. Do I have to come right flat out and tell you everything? Give me some money.
WMFO Medford, 91.5 FM. You are listening to The Big Picture. I am Chase Belaine. With me, as always, is my soundboard-deficient co-host.
Leave me alone.
Derek Curry.
I want a producer.
We're going to be here with you till 9 o'clock. If you want to give us a call, we'd love to hear from you. It's 855-915-WMFO. And wouldn't you know it? It's the 30th anniversary of Nike's Just Do It campaign. And they decided to be super quiet, non-controversial about it, didn't they, Derek?
Just do it.
And by totally, you guys understand sarcasm, right? So they decided to have Colin, I can never pronounce this dude's name.
It's Kaepernick.
Is it? So it's like the most simple, he's a simple man, so yeah. I guess the most simple,
he's very simple
pronunciation
man.
Makes
very
sense.
Very simple man. Colin Kaepernick.
Yes, they decided to use Colin Kaepernick as, I mean, they use other athletes as well in this campaign.
They use 29 other athletes, but there's only one that anybody wants to talk about.
I would say the only one anyone seems to care about is Colin Kaepernick.
Yes.
And, everyone is focusing on this message of on the ad that Nike released on Monday, which is Kaepernick's face and the message, believe in something, even if it means sacrificing everything. And wouldn't you believe,
don't forget the hashtag. Just do it.
Speaking of believing
just
in something,
do it.
Wouldn't you believe that everyone has something to say about it?
Just do it.
Oh, you're creeping me out every, like, my level of creeped outness gets higher and higher every time that you say that in such a, I paid 90 cents for this voice. even our president, the honorable Donald Trump.
Wow. Wow.
I was about to call him the Trump. I had to somehow.
Honorable?
I know. It felt gross. It was like sort of like putting anchovies in my mouth as I said that. For those of you who don't know, I hate anchovies.
This is the moment, Shay, where I just realized that 2018 has broken you. All right? That's the moment right there.
You just noticed now. It's already September.
The year has broken you. Just do it.
Oh, that broke me. No, that was the moment right then.
Is it
even
in you?
Even our
is
now
it in you?
Here, will it help if I say it sarcastically?
Is it in
even
you?
Even our honorable president had something to say about it this morning.
Wow, Donald Trump had something to say about players who kneel for the national anthem?
Shocker.
Shocking.
Just like the NFL, whose ratings have gone full caps way down.
Oh yeah.
Nike is getting absolutely killed with anger and boycotts.
Did he call them the failing NFL?
He didn't, but
no, he still likes them.
Though. No, but he put way down in all caps. Derek, come on. You have to know.
Yeah.
I mean, and he can't.
3% Nike's
TB is his buddy. He can't like totally talk down to the
3% Nike's stock fell on this after this thing came out yesterday. And there are 29 other athletes. This is the 30th anniversary of Just Do It. the Just Do It campaign. And they got look. I know what that phrase meant 30 years ago. I don't know if the millennials know what it means today, but I know what it meant 30 years ago, and I know that Nike was more than happy to embrace rape culture with it.
Well, I love the middle of the timeline with that. Whenever I hear, and I hate that this is what, actually I kind of love that this is what I reference, I think of when that reference comes up, is The Office. What's the guy who works for Saber that Aaron dates? The tall, wiry guy that everyone hates. Gabe.
Yeah.
Gabe. But he tries to get back with Aaron. And he's like, I got a tattoo for you. She's like, no, you didn't. I didn't ask you to get that Nike swoosh. And he's like, the Nike swoosh means just do it. You were the it that I was just doing.
Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty much where that one came from, kids. So Nike's stock fell 3%. And as I said, Colin Kaepernick is just one of 30 athletes who were involved in
this.
Yeah,
like that's, I mean, one or both of the Williams sisters. I think one of the Williams sisters is in it.
Serena's in it.
I wouldn't say Serena's in it. Lots of, like, it's a true testament to where our focus lies in terms of things we talk about, things we get riled up about, that like you said, there's 30 athletes involved and everyone's like, no, but this guy did this like kind of controversial thing like some whatever time ago.
How many points did Nike knock off of the Dow Jones Industrial Average yesterday? I saw that number somewhere. 18. 18 points Nike knocked off the... that's your retirement savings, kids. Colin Kaepernick just took 18 points off your index funds.
Those of us without 401ks are giggling at you right now.
So, not satisfied with only losing 4% of their stock value. Nike, who makes this browser? Nike has gone ahead and released a TV commercial. I haven't actually heard any of this yet. Let's see what we got here. This is
their
dream crazy spot.
It's like when Charlie Sheen was in the gutter and
if people say your dreams are crazy.
This is a skateboarder
if they
falling
laugh
off a
at
skateboard.
What you think you can do.
Now we have a child wrestler with no legs.
Stay that way.
Black kid in the cornfield,
because what non-believers
fail
to understand.
People watching
is that
TV.
Calling a dream crazy.
When I snort, you know how. You know
it's
that's
a compliment.
Surfer.
I think something's really
don't try
funny.
To be the fastest runner in your school, or the fastest in the world. Be the fastest ever. Don't picture yourself wearing OBJ's jersey. Picture OBJ wearing yours.
And if you break your teeth trying to be the fastest runner in the world, it's totally worth it.
That's as much of that as I need to hear.
Yeah, I was going to say, I wasn't even watching this. I was just listening to that. And
at some point,
a little.
The ad does have, that was Colin Kaepernick's voice, by the way.
Next show, I'm sorry if there's a bit of puke on the microphone. You will understand why.
At some point in the video, in the commercial, they have Colin Kaepernick. I gotta hand it to the people in New York and Chicago who come up with this crap. They have a shot of Colin Kaepernick standing in a cornfield looking at American flag. Folks, patriotism right there. He's in a cornfield looking at an American flag. Look at how patriotic. Will someone explain to me, anyone, explain to me who thought throwing this bomb a couple of days before the NFL season begins was a good idea? Nike, by the way, makes all the uniforms for the NFL. I got to imagine Roger Goodell is Trump-like in his fury right now.
yeah.
But, or would be if Roger Goodell was capable of emotion, which I'm not sure he is.
But entertain this little cherub. Perhaps that's exactly why they did it right now. Because they know that the NFL is reliant upon them, so they can't throw as big a hissy fit as they would if they did this in, say, April.
I'm pretty sure the NFL can cancel that contract after this season. And if Nike wants to sue, then the NFL will be more than happy to sue them.
But they're Nike. I mean, okay, so what is, like, New Balance going to take over? Come on. They're Nike. At the end of the day, they make the best athletic equipment.
Do you know how badly Under Armour would like to have that contract? Do you know how badly New Balance would like to have that contract? There's plenty of companies. Adidas would love to have that contract. There's no shortage of companies that can go and make uniforms.
Again, though, they have an entire football season to get on their good graces again. And by the way, I have an answer to your previous question, which is how anyone thought that was a good idea. Is that was so reminiscent of, I remember after, yes, I can remember back this far, kids. I haven't smoked that much pot. But after September 11th, there was an ad campaign that was, it was just a single shot down what looked like perhaps a Brooklyn or Southie or America Town USA block of, you know, like lower income housing, whatever. Not even lower income, but you know what I mean? Like a like triple decker type area.
In the ghetto.
And this isn't me talking down. My whole family grew up in a triple decker type area. I currently live in a triple decker type area. Neither here nor there. But so it showed that shot and then had script text come over the screen and say something like, on September 11th, 2001, a group of terrorists crashed American chartered planes into American buildings in two of the biggest cities in our country to try to change the face of the way our country works.
They succeeded.
And then all of a sudden, all of these door fronts have American flags hanging out front.
Oh, I remember this ad.
And it says, it worked. This is the same thing where like that, I remember looking at that ad at, I think I was 15 years old when that came out. And I remember looking at me like, oh my God, how propagandistic can you get?
Can I tell you?
And then remember watching it with other people and having them be like, oh my God, America's so great. Anytime anyone shows me the flag from now on, I'm just going to be like, oh my God, America's so great.
Can I tell you, you could not buy an American flag for weeks after 9/11.
Oh, I'm aware.
You had to go to the flag factory to actually go get them. It took me forever to get one.
My school allowed us to break. I went to all girls Catholic school where we wore uniforms. They allowed us to break uniform if we had something with an American flag on it.
But here's the thing. Here's the thing. That ad existed to try and bring people together and to instill a sense of hope after a national tragedy. That's what it's there for. You're 100%. You are right that it's propaganda. I'm not going to argue that point, but it was basically saying, you know, look, we've all been through a lot together. At least we can still come together. At least we have these things in common. At least we support each other.
But see, I think that's what they wanted you to think.
This thing here exists precisely to divide people.
No, but I'm saying my point by bringing this up is that ever since that ad, ever since, I'm not trying to be one of those like, oh my God, September 11 changed everything. It changed a lot of things. Absolutely. I do think that ad did have positive repercussions. I also don't think it was completely noble in its birth, in its, you know, in its foundation. But ever since that ad came out, my point being and relating it to this is that ever since then, everyone's been like, slap an American flag on something and make it super patriotic. And at least 80% of these dum-dums are going to latch on. That is the mentality that was created by that ad.
No.
17 years
that
ago.
That was when you were exposed to that for the first time and there is a difference between the two.
Oh, come on. Do not try to call me that naive. I was smarter at 7 years old than most people in this country are at 27.
That's fine, but that's your first exposure to packaged patriotism. It's been around
since. Again, don't call me that naive. First exposure to packaged patriotism. Are you kidding? I was alive already when the Berlin Wall came down. I was here for the... I can't think of it right now. I was here for when everyone still loved Bill Clinton after Monica Lewinsky's blue dress with that mysterious white spot on it. I have seen people being like, okay, we're the worst, but yay, America, way before 2001.
Then why are you bringing that up as an example of anything?
Because I'm saying that that is the first time that more naive Americans ever truly...
100% not true. 100% not
true. More naive Americans born post-1985 got truly exposed to, hey, this flag means we're all together. So anytime you see this... Do you know how many Americans don't even know how many stars there are... stripes there are on the American flag and don't know the significance of it?
Number one...
It's the colonies, by the way, guys, for anyone who's listening. There were 13 of them before.
That is a cynical and incorrect viewpoint. Number two, it is not related to this conversation.
Cynical, yes. Incorrect, no.
Not related to this conversation.
No, but my only point...
Stop. Back on track. We'll talk about that next week. We're talking about Colin Kaepernick right now.
I know, but my only point being that perhaps there have been other instances, but I'm saying they're capitalizing. My original point was that by putting him staring at the flag, it was very much capitalizing on that whole, like, we're so American.
Yes.
Like this shows you how American we're being now.
But the whole thing, it just shows you how tone deaf they are.
Colin
Kaepernick is one of the most polarizing figures in the country. And this myth making that they're engaged in here, that believe in something, even if it means sacrificing everything. What has Colin Kaepernick sacrificed? The Baltimore Ravens offered him a job last season. He turned them down. There was a team, I forget if it was Seattle or somebody, someone was looking at him this past offseason. He turned them down. Colin Kaepernick has not made a single public statement saying that he wants to play football. He walked away from the San Francisco 49ers, hasn't been heard from since. Well, why should he be? He's getting millions of dollars in Nike money still. What that ad should say is... Believe in something. Nike will pay you. Colin Kaepernick...
Believe that you can squander a skill that you have and everyone else wishes that they had.
Colin Kaepernick is a fraud. Colin Kaepernick is a fraud. And I understand that the issues that he pretends to stand up for are important issues and vital issues. And that a lot of people have latched onto him because he has visibility. And because you see Colin Kaepernick and you say, okay, you know, I know what that stands for. I know what that means. It's easy packaging. It's iconography. It's easy to understand. Colin Kaepernick, what has he done? Is he at the protests? Is he donating his money? Is he donating his time?
Is he donating blood for...
Where the heck is this guy? Where the heck is this guy other than doing the bare minimum that he needs to do to keep himself visible in the media? And this is where Nike gets it wrong. Because there are actual athletes out there who have sacrificed. Okay? I'm not going to get into the whole Pat Tillman thing here, but I think the people who say Pat Tillman is a better choice of an NFL player who sacrificed everything than Colin Kaepernick is, I think they have a point. Okay? I think when you take this polarizing figure, who, by the way, has done nothing to deserve any of the attention that has been given to him, nothing to deserve any of the mountains of ink that have been spilled in his name, nothing to do the hours that have been spent talking about him. He's like this cipher. He's this blank thing that's just out there. Doesn't say anything, doesn't do anything. Every now and again, somebody takes a picture of him. He says a couple words for Nike, and suddenly it's all Colin Kaepernick again. This is ridiculous. Nike is ridiculous. I cannot believe how boneheaded this company is. Putting this out on 3 days before the NFL season starts, when the conversation already is quietly turning back to who's going to kneel during the anthem, what's going to happen, are the ratings going to go down again, are we losing the fans? Well, here's Nike to stick it in your nose. and stick their thumb in your eye and say, hey, it's Colin Kaepernick. I think going out and burning your Nike gear is a bit much. I mean, as if you want to be angry about it, you can be angry about it. You know what?
If it's coming down to sneakers, I wear Adidas or New Balance.
Instead of burning your Nike gear, why don't you donate that to the needy? Why don't you donate that to somebody? Make something good come out of this, is what I'm saying.
As Nick will not be doing. Like, seriously, has that guy, I reiterate, has that guy even, like, donated blood? Like, does he, any concept of?
He filed a lawsuit against the NFL accusing them of collusion. There's that word again. And
I bet someone taught him that 5 minutes before he
and haven't really heard much of him until this. So, nice job, Nike. you're not getting any more of my money because you're a bunch of boneheads and you're bad at what you do. And your athletic gear isn't that good anyway. I prefer New Balance. Wearing my New Balance right now. They actually help with my ankle problems.
My dad has done like every breast cancer walk he can do in the country. And he swears by those gray, they're called like 922s or something. But he swears by those, like, and every breast cancer walk is, or most of them are 60 miles, some are 40.
Yep.
But he walks perfectly even after doing that
New
for
Balance,
3 days.
New Balance has engineered them to force you to walk correctly.
Oh, yeah. That's what he says. Like, the first time we tried one on, he was just like, I can't believe I've ever bought any other sneaker.
Spectacular. Absolutely spectacular.
I'm a flip-flop girl, so I don't care. Flip-flops, Chucks, or barefoot.
You've seen me limping around. All right?
Yes,
I spent all day Sunday on my feet walking around Canopy
Lake.
Get you some
922s,
dude. I'm wearing them right now. 855-915-9636. When we come back, a lot of things being said about our orange president. Most of them anonymously, none of them good. We'll get you caught up and see what all this might mean here on WMFO Medford.
Ranger Station.
I'd like to report a bear hug.
Okay.
I put out my campfire and Smokey Bear hugged me.
So you drowned the fire, you stirred it, drowned it again, and felt that it was cold?
Uh-huh.
Yep, he's just letting you know you did good.
Bear hug from Smokey Bear. Status update.
I'm gonna let you go now.
There are many ways to start a fire, but one sure way to put it out. Learn how you can do your part at SmokeyBear.com.
Sponsored by the U.S. Forest Service Ad Council and your state forester.
All aboard!
FO Medford 91.5 FM. You are listening to The Big Picture. I am Chase Belaine. With me as always is Derek Gary. We're going to be here with you till 9 o'clock. If you want to give us a call at 855-915-WMFO. And we do love to hear from you. And goodness gracious, I feel like someone's going to call in on this one. Everyone's favorite Case Cracker, Bob Woodward, has written a new book. Going off the rails
on a crazy train. Resume. Wait. Going off the rails on a crazy train. Welcome to Crazy Town.
Oh, so appropriate. But so, Bob Woodward has written a new book that reveals what he refers to as a quote-unquote nervous breakdown, end quote, of the Trump presidency. Trump is super pumped about it.
Yeah, not a lot of good looks in what's coming out. The Washington Post and the Associated Press both got advanced copies of this. And you know, there's a few different stories that come out of this, and my feeling on this juicy stuff that's come out so far, this is the most salacious stuff in the book. You know, this is the attention grabbing stuff, and the rest of the book's pretty dull because that's usually the way it goes. Woodward said that he based the title of the book on a quote from Trump to Woodward during an interview in 2016, where Trump said, "Real power is, I don't even want to use the word fear." And yeah, so that's what Trump said.
Oh.
And then he goes on to provide some different examples of things that people have told him, or people have said other people have said. And this is where this gets interesting. Apparently, in one case, Trump wanted to know why we had military in the Korean Peninsula. And so Defense Secretary Mattis had to say, quote, "We're doing this in order to prevent World War III," end quote, because Donald Trump did not seem to get that. Mattis also said at one point that the Trump administration, this is Chief of Staff John Kelly, who has also denied ever saying this. Quote, "He's an idiot. It's pointless to try and convince him of anything. He's gone off the rails. We're in Crazy Town. I don't even know why any of us are here. This is the worst job I've ever had."
Oh, God.
That's John F. Kelly.
And do you know how many people, like, fight tooth and nail? One of my good friends in college, his goal, like his lifelong from childhood dream, was to be in the Secret Service or the CIA. Like, he wanted in some way to very closely serve the president and the federal government. And I would never know if he actually made it, because of course they're not allowed to tell people that. But it's such an elite select. Thank you. I just combine the words elite and select. It's such an elite and select few that get that opportunity. So to have someone who is in that elite select few say, this is the worst job I've ever had.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't know if any of you have ever been to Paris, but their ambulances do this. Yeah. That's the sound that starts playing in my head when I hear that. Well, and especially just the given fact that, I mean, all of those of us who do not support Trump as president, the thing that we've always kind of drawn to is that he doesn't know what he's doing. Not even he doesn't know what he's doing. He doesn't really know what's going on. Everything he does points to that fact that he doesn't totally understand not just our domestic issues, but our international relations, which is why it's stupid for us to, I don't know, leave the UN, for us to be pals with Russia or pals with North Korea. And it's like one of those things where anyone I know who supports Trump, or at least is, you know, kind of middle of the road about it, is always like, yeah, but where's the proof?
Yeah.
And now this comes out.
Last April. after the Syrian chemical attack, Trump calls Mattis and says, quote, talking about Syrian president.
It's like the most terrified, giddy laughter I've ever had.
Quote, let's effing kill him. Let's go in. Let's kill the effing lot of them. Mattis told the president, this is in the Washington Post, Mattis told the president he would get right on it. But after hanging up the phone, he told a senior aide, quote, we're not going to do any of that. We're going to be much more measured. End quote. Apparently, at one point, he was talking to his generals about Afghanistan and said, just go kill them. You don't need a strategy to go kill them. Now,
God bless America.
Now, all of this is the usual...
Land that I love.
All of this is the usual sort of bull in a china shop. You know, Trump is in the White House, stuff that you would expect.
But it's one thing when it's him... being him, because he's so like, oh my God, I want everyone to see me being all Trumpy and blah. But when this is, what's terrifying about it is that it's behind closed doors. This is stuff that we're not supposed to hear.
Where this gets interesting is where you have people saying that they are taking documents and legislation off his desk to keep them away from him because they don't like the decisions that he's making. And this leads us to what the New York Times decided to do late this afternoon, which is to run an anonymous. Don't know who wrote it.
Anonymous.
An anonymous letter to the editor. That's basically what it is, titled, I am part of the resistance inside the Trump administration, in which Mr. Anonymous, whoever he may be, who is identified as a senior official within the Trump administration, basically says that they spend half their time trying to thwart the president and that they have done various things to try and thwart the president.
Well, can we focus on the best part about this, though? Which is that President Trump did respond to this. Wait, how does he like to respond to things? Oh, right, Twitter, the way that 14-year-olds respond to things. His response was just treason. In all capital letters.
Yes, it is, and he's correct. And the New York, basically this person says, I'll give you a quick excerpt from this, where he's talking about how this is a, here we go. It may be cold comfort in this chaotic era, this is from the op-ed, but Americans should know that there are adults in the room, we fully recognize what is happening, and we are trying to do what's right even when Donald Trump won't. The result is a two-track presidency. Take foreign policy. In public and in private, President Trump shows a preference for autocrats and dictators, such as President Vladimir Putin of Russia and North Korea's leader Kim Jong-un, and displays little genuine appreciation for the ties that bind us to allied, like-minded nations. Astute observers have noted, though, that the rest of the administration is operating on another track, one where countries like Russia are called out for meddling and punished accordingly, and where allies around the world are engaged as peers rather than ridiculed as rivals.
The fact that this anonymous person knows what the word astute means gives me more confidence in them than I have in our president.
I'll tell you who this isn't. This is definitely not Mattis. Mattis would not do this. Someone from the military, any branch of the military would not.
This is somebody from the executive branch, but low down on the
This is
an advisor. This is an advisor, a low level advisor. Not Trump's right hand man. Not anyone that we see on television. This is somebody who is low level enough, and to put it in the gentlest terms possible, obscure and anonymous enough that this won't be traced back, but high level enough that they're watching what's happening.
This is why many Trump appointees, again reading from this anonymous letter to the New York Times, this is why many Trump appointees have vowed to do what we can to preserve our democratic institutions while thwarting Mr. Trump's more misguided impulses until he is out of office. In this anonymous letter, this individual, this coward, I will support that description of this individual, basically admits to acts of treason against the people of the United States. This is an
of his
and other people. This is an unelected official whose job is to serve the president, who was elected by the people of the United States, admitting in the New York Times that we're not doing that. We're actually doing what we think is right. That is an act of treason. Going against the president is an act of treason.
I agree.
Going against the Congress of the United States is an act of treason. Going against the Constitution of the United States is an act of treason.
But okay, the first two, I agree with you that that is treason. But that being said, the very foundation of our government is of the people, by the people, for the people. That's the foundation. And I agree, it is, if you are hired to serve someone who we have elected, yes. You're supposed to follow orders. Absolutely. But it stands to reason that our country in and of itself was founded on treason. We saw a leader who was not leading us properly, who was taking advantage of us as citizens, who was not fit to suit the needs of us. And we took the steps, illegal as they may be, to overthrow that leader.
The ends do not justify the means, and that is still an act of treason.
I'm not saying it's... I told you. I prefaced by saying, I agree. Absolutely treason. Again. 100%. Yay, go treason, go. But my point being that sometimes...
No.
If you want to break an omelet, you got to break some eggs.
No.
Yes.
No. Not at this level. Not when you're... No.
Derek, Gary, if we live in Boston, our harbor still smells like Earl Grey tea.
If you're talking about, I'm going to get in my car and drive home after I've had a couple of drinks, or I'm going to buy some illegal fireworks, or, you know.
So it's okay to low-level break the law, but when it actually has to do with the well-being and justice and rights of our people, that the way they're supposed to be enforced, then it's a horribly big deal. I'm not saying treason isn't a big deal. Yeah, it's a capital offense. You can go to jail for the rest of your life. But that was still the case in 1776.
When it has to do with the foundation of our society and what keeps us from killing each other, we're in a different level. Let me read you this quote. And this has led some to believe that whoever wrote this may be a member of the cabinet. There were early whispers within the cabinet of invoking the 25th Amendment, which would start a complex process for removing the president. But no one wanted to precipitate a constitutional crisis. So we, that's where they think it's a cabinet member. So we will do what we can to steer this administration in the right direction.
Oh my God, it's totally a cabinet member.
Until one way or another.
I didn't read that part.
It's over. You have a process in place to remove this man. And instead of doing that, because you don't want to invoke a constitutional crisis, you have committed treason and created a greater constitutional crisis, wherein we now need to find out who you are, what you have done, and remove you from office and put you in jail.
Yeah.
And by the way.
But, okay.
By the way, that's part one of this. Part two of this is September 5th, 2018. I'd like everyone to mark that down in your calendar. That is the day that the New York Times, our paper of record, our national paper of record, our paper of history.
Best crosswords ever.
Published a single source anonymous letter purporting to discuss what is happening in the White House. In other words, gossip. This is the day.
No, not gossip.
Gossip.
Not gossip. Because.
Single source.
This is single source.
You studied journalism.
Yes, I
studied journalism. Single source.
Single source, but on a topic that is on the mind of every intellectual, every
single
well-minded.
Source.
But that is not, they're not, it would be one thing if they were publishing it as absolute truth. They are publishing it as, we received this document, it is newsworthy, thus we are going to publish it.
It is
they
not.
Are, they did not preface it with, this is an absolutely accurate portrayal of the Trump administration. They did not. Then they would be at fault. But they did not. They said, we received this, we're showing it to you.
Which, to be honest,
is one of the most noble things that a member of any form of the press can do.
Which is
getting an important thing that may or may not be true, as long as they don't say, hey, this is totally true, Scout's Honor, is presenting it to the people that they represent, that they are supposed to report the news to.
Here's their statement. September 5th, 2018. This is the day the New York Times took journalism out in back of the woodshed and put two.
Oh my God, I want to tear my microphone off.
Fired two
throw
shots
it at you.
To make sure it was done. The Times today is taking.
Sorry, go ahead. The Times today, continue.
The Times today is taking the rare step of publishing an anonymous op-ed essay. We have done so at the request of the author, a senior official in the Trump administration, whose identity is known to us and whose job would be jeopardized by its disclosure. We believe publishing this essay anonymously is the only way to deliver an important perspective to our readers.
Perspective. They didn't say fact. Perspective. It is my perspective that you are moderately bald. It is your perspective that you are completely bald. Neither of those are facts.
The simple act of putting it on the op-ed page of the New York Times legitimizes it.
It's op-ed, editorial. That, by definition, means that they are acknowledging the fact that it is a human being's opinion, not an established, I've got nine sources to back this
but
up.
But you've
fact.
Read this, Shay. This does not read as, I have an opinion. This reads as, this is what's going on and this is what we're doing.
But I could write, okay.
This is the admission.
I've been a female comedian for almost 9 years. Shay. Let me finish. I've been a female comedian for almost 9 years. I could write an expert opinion piece anonymously about what it's like to be a female comedian, the way we're mistreated, the various things that have happened to me over the course of being a female comedian, submitted to the New York Times. No, they'd never publish it, but were they to, I wouldn't be speaking for all, they would never imply, nor are they right now, that I'm speaking for all female comedians, because it is, while probably a very accurate portrayal, they're making a very purposeful point of making sure that it's known that even though it's obviously a very well-informed opinion, it is just that, an opinion. They carefully, it's the New York Times, dude. They are wording things to their best interest. They're not a bunch of dum-dums. We're not reading the post.
Stop. Stop. With your, you've read the piece.
Yes.
Does the piece read like opinion?
The piece reads like, that's my point, is saying that if my area of expertise, I'm using air quotes, it wouldn't read like opinion if I wrote something like that either. It would read like fact based on the opinion of an expert.
Okay.
But it's still opinion nonetheless.
You just answered the question.
I'm saying it reads like fact.
Thank you. Stop there.
No,
stop
but the New York Times doesn't say this is absolutely true. You just read me their preface. Their preface, very, very, very carefully, mind you. It's obvious that whoever decided to publish this agrees with it. I'm not putting that aside. But they very carefully make sure to make it very well known that they're not calling this fact.
No.
Even though the piece reads like fact, I agree.
They use the phrase, an important perspective.
Perspective. That's a synonym of point of view. Point of views are people's point of views.
Do you think the overwhelming majority of Americans are going to get that nuance?
Well, it's not my fault that the majority of Americans are dummies, but that's not the point. Do you think the majority of Americans read the New York Times?
When something like this comes out, yes, because this is the most read thing online right now.
Oh, cute. They decided to get away from their local 50-cent paper and actually read something worth reading.
Could the New York Times have prefaced
this? Sorry, that was pompous and elitist. I didn't mean it to come off that way.
Could the New York Times have prefaced this by saying, none of the statements in this are verified and are the sole opinion of the author? Could they have said that?
Yes, they could have.
Why didn't they say that? Why didn't they say that?
First of all, because the New York Times doesn't word things that way.
Yes, they do.
Second of all,
they word things like that all the time. Every newspaper does.
Okay. Well, in that case, I reiterate my previous statement, which is that obviously whoever decided to publish this clearly agrees with it, or they wouldn't have decided to publish this.
There's your answer.
However, they very carefully said the word perspective. Perspective is the million-dollar word in that preface. Because perspective, by definition, means this person's point of view, this person's opinion. It does not say, we thought that this was a bunch of paragraphs of fact. We thought this was a very expert proven fact. The word perspective by definition does not imply fact.
It doesn't preclude fact either. And that's the important distinction here.
But that's what I'm saying is, okay, it doesn't preclude fact. That's what I'm saying. Perspective doesn't preclude fact because perspective can refer to expert opinion.
And keep in mind, they're saying this is important.
The word opinion.
They didn't use the word opinion.
Still, no, but
they
I'm
called
saying,
it an important perspective.
No, I'm saying perspective implies expert opinion. The word opinion's still in there. They, in no way, I get that they danced around with language, but
oh,
guess
they
what?
Completely danced around
but
with language.
What? The New York Times is dope at that. Of course they did, because like I said, this person wanted this to be seen. Otherwise, they wouldn't have published
that
it.
That also means that...
But they also knew that they had a journalistic duty.
They had a journalistic duty to not publish this. That was their journalistic duty.
Their journalistic duty was to publish this while... I agree that they could have... The preface could have said, this in no way reflects the opinion of the New York Times, or this in no way reflects facts that have been backed up. Nonetheless, they still found clever and kind of sleight of hand as it may be. They did at least imply that they acknowledge that this is an opinion by using the word perspective.
But they did not use the word opinion. They did not specifically...
Perspective implies opinion.
For you, it implies opinion. For me, it implies opinion.
For the dictionary, it implies opinion.
For the majority of Americans, it does not imply opinion. And the other point about this, none of this is vetted. None of this is vetted. None of this is vetted. And the New York Times does not speak to the fact that none of this is vetted. And what do we have? At the second half of the, or the third paragraph, basically, many of these senior officials in his own administration are working diligently from within to frustrate parts of his agenda and his worst inclinations. That reads as a statement of fact. This thing has been taken out of context all over the place without any of what the New York Times put at the front of it. This is being circulated as fact.
When other female comedians and I get together, we drink wine, take off all our clothes, and dance around with scarves.
No one cares.
That reads as a statement of fact.
No one cares.
By the way, if the rest of America is reading this, that means they have the internet, which means they can look up the word perspective. It takes about 0.8 seconds.
You were deliberately... Either you support this and you support what the New York Times did, in which case, I don't know what to tell you.
I support what
you got a bad education, is what I'm going to tell you. If that's your belief.
I support what the New York Times said insofar as that
you are deliberately ignoring the issues here. It's one of those two things, and I'd like to know which one of them it is.
Okay,
because you're not dealing honestly.
What issues?
You support them publishing this as is.
I agree that they perhaps should have been a bit more clear in their preface, but I support, of course, them publishing something that is worthy of being published. They did not. I could see you getting all up in arms if they published it as a news article and made no sort of preface in terms of, oh, like, we're not, like, someone else wrote this and we got it and we decided to publish it. If they just published it in a news article, yeah, go crazy. Throw all the computers out of the window. Let's start a fire. That's not the case.
That is the case.
That is not the
case.
You literally have read the preface to me 4 times now.
But I've read the preface. The optics of this are the New York Times, paper of record, published an insider account of life in the White House. That's what the average American is taking away from this. They don't care that it was on the op-ed page. They don't care that none of it has been vetted. They don't care that these could be the ravings of a madman. All they know is that the New York Times published an insider account that said senior officials at the White House are working to undermine our president.
The San Francisco Chronicle published the Zodiac Killer's manifesto.
Why? Because he threatened to stop, because he said he would stop killing if they did.
No, that's not why they published it.
That's why they published it. That's
no,
why.
That's not why they published it. Maybe someone who's watched the movie Zodiac would think that. But actually, it was because the editor decided that despite it perhaps causing the public to go into a frenzy and a panic, that the public deserved to know. That is precisely the case we're dealing with here. The public, even if it is treason, I'm not saying it's not.
Look into your history on that case.
And I do not question me on serial killers, sir.
Don't question me on journalism history. It's a losing battle.
Do not question me on serial killers.
Do not question me on journalism history or things involving the FBI, because you will not come out ahead.
That's not the FBI.
Anyway, it is WMFO Medford. We got to make room for On the Town with Mikey D, but before that...
MFO Medford 91.5 FM. We're wrapping things up here at the Big Picture. I am Chase Blaine. With me, as always, is Derek Gary. We are wrapping things up here, but before we go, we have to tell you what's hot in Boston this week. For me, I really want to get this done before summer is over. There's this great company called Paddle Boston. They have locations in Somerville, Alston, Cambridge, Newton, and Waltham. My favorite one is at the end of Broad Canal Way near the restaurant I work at during the day, Za in Cambridge. It's $16 for a single kayak for an hour, $21 for a double. And a lot of places, my restaurant included, will give you discounts if you bring your receipt from Paddle Boston. But I highly recommend it before the summer's over. It's a great way to see the city from the Charles. And if you want to look into it more, go to paddleboston.com.
October 7th, That is a Sunday.
Sunday.
Doctor Who fans, mark that down on your calendar because that is when 13th Doctor Jodie Whittaker will be making her debut in a first ever live simulcast of a Doctor Who premiere in the United Kingdom and in the United States. This is going to air both sides of the pond.
Jesus Christ.
Same time, October 7th. They haven't given the time yet, but expect it to be like mid to late afternoon here.
See, like these are the times I think the internet is cool.
Nobody unfortunately bothered to tell them that that's football season. But good news for the local fans, the Patriots play on Thursday night that week. So you can go catch some Doctor Who. After the live simulcast, it will move to a regular time slot on Sunday nights. So now it's on a night when people actually watch television instead of a night when you have to sacrifice everything to stay in and see it. We'll see if that helps.
WMFO Medford, 91.5 FM. We're wrapping things up here at The Big Picture with That's a Thing That Happened. For me, a Utah driver who slammed her Tesla into a stopped fire truck at a red light earlier this year while using the vehicle's semi-autonomous function has sued Tesla, saying salespeople told her the car would stop on its own in autopilot mode if something was in its path. Heather Lamastish claimed in a lawsuit filed yesterday that Tesla salespeople told her in 2016 when she purchased the Model S. I'm sorry, I can't laugh. That she could just touch the steering wheel occasionally while using autopilot mode. She said that she tried to brake when she saw the stopped cars, but the car's brakes didn't work. Without the car telling them to.
Yikes.
I really want to follow this case.
Oh, boy. More bad news for Elon Musk. Florida. 20-year-old...
Oh, shocker.
Yeah. 20-year-old Mackenzie Dobbs, or Dobbs, excuse me. 20-year-old Mackenzie Dobbs and 32-year-old William Parrish Jr. are going to jail. They were caught dealing drugs last week after a series of fentanyl overdoses were traced back to their home. They may have gotten away with it if it weren't for those pesky overdoses. Dobbs and Parrish are what you call clever criminals. They didn't want to attract a lot of attention with drug buyers coming and going through the front door, so they converted the kitchen window in their mobile home into a drive-thru for drugs, complete with open and close signs that showed business hours.
Oh my goodness.
For opioid users in Ocala, it's back to ringing doorbells. Just drive around the mobile home and they open the window. And
sometimes, like, I'll do something and be like, opioids. I'm so stupid. And then I hear something like that and I'm like, I'm doing all right.
Yeah. It's Florida, kids. It's always, always, always Florida. That is all the time we have for this week. We will be back next week with more for you to enjoy. Hey, what's this thing doing now? Nothing in this place works.
Oh, yeah, it's the buttons.
It is. It's always the buttons. All I Tell Mikey D is coming up shortly with everything you need to know about the Boston music scene. Chris Earle, I understand, is going to be back with Watch This, his great movie show, next week. So something else to look forward to.